And let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have made us as your dear children through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for us, because of your love, because of his willingness to obey you and to give up everything for your will and for our need. And Lord, we pray, God, that our hearts would be open to you today. We pray for wisdom as I teach from your word, that you would give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I had a little teaser at Wednesday night Bible study, and I said that today I would tell a story about me that you guys probably have never heard. I don't even know if my wife has heard the story. It's going to come at the end of the message. You'll probably think less of me as a person. I don't know. You think, why was this guy up there preaching? I don't know. You know, what kind of character is he? But anyway, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we affirm the truth that life begins at conception. That's when we become human beings. Our personhood starts then and there. And so I want us to keep on praying for our government leaders, especially here in the state of California, that they would see the truth of God and change their stance on abortion. And we need a big turnaround here in the state amongst our leaders. And I'm going to set aside, Bruce will lead this at the end of the service, but there'll be a time of silent prayer. I want us to pray for the leaders here in California. But we're continuing our life study, life verse series. Each person has had an opportunity to share what their life verse is, and some of you had more than one life verse, and I've been trying faithfully to not leave anybody out, and today's life verse actually fits in with the theme of the sanctity of human life. And I heard the story about a theologically liberal preacher who once said that the Bible doesn't say anything at all about abortion. He said, because the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion, you're at liberty to do whatever you feel is right. Now, human nature, our old human nature, loves to hear that. You know, oh, we can just do whatever we want, whatever we think is best. But, you know, this theologically liberal preacher couldn't have been any more wrong than that. The Bible is very clear about when life begins. And I think you probably understand, you probably know that liberal preachers do not take the Bible seriously. They question its inspiration, and by doing that, they undermine its authority. You see, they put their own opinions or society's opinions or scientific opinions on an equal par with the Bible or even above the Bible. But the Bible is true, and all these other things are just opinions, faulty opinions. And like I said, the Bible is clear on this subject. Today, we're going to look at one of the most clear passages in the Old Testament on when life begins and when people become people. And I want us to look at one of the greatest Psalms by King David, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And this psalm celebrates the omnipotence, the omnipresence, and the omniscience of God. Those are kind of fancy terms for the fact that God is all-powerful, God is everywhere present, and he's all-knowing. And I mean, you think about that, that's amazing. And it's amazing when you think about the beginning of life. You see, when our lives began, our God was there. Our God was there. So let me read Psalm 139. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. And so in this psalm, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote that a person is a person even in his mother's womb. And you say, well, where did you get that, Dave? I got it from one very small word, a personal pronoun. He said, you saw me before I was born. He didn't say, you saw it, you saw me. And in the NIV, in verse 16, it reads, Your eyes saw my unformed body, or some translations say my unformed substance. I got a revelation as I was studying this that word unformed literally in the Hebrew means a rolled up substance. And that's a clear reference to the embryo. God's eye of love and watch care was on us even when we were just embryos. We were skillfully and wonderfully interwoven or embroidered together by the very hand of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully means awesome, which means that God's awesome work is evident in the marvels of the human body. And I think the more that science looks at the human body and understands the human body, it really is a miracle. We didn't just get here by chance, my friends. We are designed. Now, concerning our personhood before birth, Psalm 139 is one of the most clear passages in the Old Testament, but there's also clear passages in the New Testament, and we started out our service with one of those, you know, the story of John the Baptist. Even when he was in his mother's womb, leapt for joy, and Scripture says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born, and when he heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Christ, he leapt for joy in his mother's womb. You know, the Holy Spirit fills people. He fills he's and she's, but not it's. And John the Baptist was a he, even in his mother's womb. Now back to Psalm 139. We don't have to look very far to see a miracle of God. All we have to do is look at the complexity, the intricacy and the wonderful design of the human body. You see, our bodies are so intricate and amazing, they are clear evidences of God's miraculous power. Amen? I want to illustrate that with a few amazing facts about the human body. Now, some of these sound so incredibly outlandish, you think, no, that can't be true. But I came across these facts. Our eyes can detect the glow of light as little as 1/1000th as bright as a candle. That's amazing. And we can see light from stars that are over 25 billion miles away. And if the inner ear were compared to a piano, it would have 15,000 keys. A standard piano has 94, if I counted correctly. And bear with me, I have a weird sense of humor. But, you know, I think some people, you know, they're singing with heart, from their heart, with joy to the Lord. That's good. They make a joyful noise to the Lord. But I think some people are singing in such a way that they try to throw in some of those 14,906 tones that are not on the piano. All right. Thank you for the laughter there. Now, this is an amazing fact. The heart, on average, beats about 75 times a minute. So that's about 40 million beats a year. By the time we reach 70, how many of you are 70 years old or older? Can I see your hands? We got a few people with their hands raised. Now, this is going to blow you away. By the time we reach 70, our heart beats 2.5 billion times. And I came across different statistics on how much blood is pumped through the the heart per day. Some people say 1,000 gallons. Some people say 2,000 gallons. Maybe it's somewhere in between. But it's a whole bunch of blood each day that is pumped through our heart, through our circulatory system. It's estimated that the heart pumps somewhere around 55 million gallons of blood in a lifetime. Now you think, okay, 55 million, that's just a number out there. But let's try and give you a picture of what that means. If you could picture 13 super tankers, those are the big ships that carry oil, transport oil across the ocean. If you could picture 13 of those super tankers, that's how much blood our heart pumps in a lifetime. The amount of energy that the heart works in 12 hours is the same amount of energy that would lift a 65-ton tank car a foot off the ground. I mean, that blows me away. But we just take it for granted. We know people have heart problems and they get stressed out and they have high blood pressure and all that. Well, it's because the heart's working awfully hard. Amen. But it's also incredible. It's all amazing. We are carefully and wonderfully made by God. And if you're not blown away or amazed yet, consider just a few more facts concerning the human body. Just in an average workday, the blood in our body travels 168 million miles, not 168 miles, 168 million miles. All the blood, all the capillaries, that's just in one workday. We breathe 23,000 times. We use about 750 muscles. We put to work about 7 million brain cells. Now, catch this. My doctor told me, because I'm starting to get high blood pressure, borderline, he said, you got to walk uphill at least 10 minutes a day. Okay. And I think the next time I'll see him, he'll probably say, you need to walk uphill 15 minutes a day. And the next time I say, 20 minutes a day. But in a lifetime, we walk about 65,000 miles, which is like walking around the earth 2.5 times in our lifetime. Now, if you're not impressed yet, catch this next fact. Our human body contains enough DNA that if it was stretched out just in a single file, it would circle the sun 260 times, just in our body. That's amazing. And the one that kind of caught my attention, because I was into bicycling, and I understand this, it's more than just statistics, but our bodies are very efficient at using energy. And so one full hour of riding a bicycle 10 miles per hour, and that's not really incredibly fast, The professional bike riders are probably doing 25 miles an hour. But if you're just cruising around at 10 miles per hour, in an hour you ride 10 miles, you use about 3 ounces of carbohydrate. Now, that's not a whole lot. Now, what impressed me was this. If our cars were that efficient in using gasoline, they would get 900 miles to the gallon. Wouldn't that be great? Lord, I want one of those 900 miles to the gallon cars. He says, you've got a body. Just start riding a bike, 10 miles an hour. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, to say the least, and it shows in a tangible way just how much God loves us, how much God cares for us. And grandchildren are so precious to their grandparents. I've experienced this. Nancy and I experienced this, firsthand. But it can't even come close to understanding how precious each and every one of us is to God. And I heard the story about a young man who was studying to be a surgeon, and he was an agnostic. He didn't know for sure whether God existed or whether there was no God. He didn't know. But one day he was in med school, he was dissecting the human hand, and he was amazed by the complexity of design, the efficiency, the engineering that's involved in people just being able to move their fingers. And it was an epiphany for him because he started right then and there to realize there has to be a creator. There has to be a master, maker, and designer of the human body. And that was the beginning of his journey, and later he gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. He realized that just looking at the human body, it couldn't just happen by chance. Now, all those details, all these stories about the human body should remind us that God's loving eye is on us. He cares for us. He cares for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, we live in this world, and sometimes we wonder if anybody cares for us, but God cares for us. He thinks about our every need, God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of love, thoughts for good, not for evil, which reminds me of a famous scripture in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. God is speaking, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you." God has plans for our lives, declares the Lord. Plans to what? To prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. You see, we need to seek after that great God who loves us so much. He will not harm us. He doesn't want to destroy us. God wants to bring the very best into our lives. God wants to bring the very best into our lives. But a lot of people do destroy their own lives. It's called sin. It falls short of God's glory. It falls short of God's standards for our life. And God sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that our lives would not be torn apart, wouldn't be shredded by what sin does to people. Sin tears every person down. There's all kinds of varieties of sin, but the key factor is that all sins tear us apart, tear us down. And so We can definitely give our heart and our life to Christ because he loves us so much. He cares about us. He doesn't want to ruin us. He wants to bless us. And so we need to entrust our lives into his hands. And that's what it means to be a Christian, is you're turning the steering wheel, if you will, of your life, and you put God in the driver's seat, and God, you're in control of my life from here on out. You call the shots. I trust you with the direction, everything about my life. I trust you with my life. And we can follow Jesus. Why? Because he's risen. He didn't just die for our sins, but he's risen from the grave. And he'll give us, he promises to give us new life if we simply trust him. Now, we cannot conceive of the multitude of God's thoughts and how big his compassion towards us is, but and it's new every morning. God cares for us every single day. Amen? Psalm 40, verse 5 says it this way, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders that you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." God has done so many great things for us. We can't even list them all. We can't count all the blessings God has in store for us. And David said it so well in verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 139, our text this morning. He says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Those of you who are parents or maybe even grandparents, have you noticed how much attention, how much thought goes into raising a kid? You know, what the kid needs, you know, how their needs change from moment to moment, what they need to eat, you know, if they get hurt. You know, we don't have time just to think about ourselves. We can't be so selfish all the time. We have another human being that we have to give thought and give attention to. Well, God's thoughts are always on us. He cares for us all the time. Now, God knows everything about us, even better than we know ourselves. He knows our actions and our location, not just physical. I mean, you know, if you have a phone and it's on, there's some chimpanzee in a satellite that's tracking you and knows where you are. Now I'm being a little facetious, but, you know, if you have your cell phone, they can find you. But God knows our physical location, but he knows our spiritual location. He knows where we're at spiritually, and that's even more important. He knows our every thought before we speak. He knows our ways, our habits, our aspirations, our plans, our fears. He knows it all. He knows the length of our days and how long we'll live and all the works that he's pre-planned for us to accomplish. And that means that we shouldn't just try to go through life trying to work our own plan, but to work God's plan. Because when we work God's plan, God is there to help us work the plan. If we're working our own plan apart from God, then it's on us, and we don't have the strength to make it happen. All this knowledge, all these facts should draw us closer to God, to open up to him, and to trust him more. And when we look at our body and how amazing a design and engineering that's in it, Ray Stedman, I was a pastor in the Bay Area many, many years ago, and he wrote a book on the Psalms, and he made this observation. He said, "There is something outside of man that is regulating and running me. I live within the limits of God." Have you ever stopped to think how much of your life is dependent upon forces at work in you? You are dependent on something you have no control over, end quote. We don't think about that. But you know what that means is we don't have to remind our heart to beat. Okay, heart, time to beat. Okay, beat again, beat again. We don't have to tell ourselves to breathe. Okay, it's time to breathe. You know, if we had to do that, we'd never get any sleep, right? And we just do it because that's the way God has designed our bodies. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that means that we can cooperate with the God who has designed us, who has made us, who cares so much for us. So let's protect human life. Let's submit our lives to God. He's created us for a purpose. And that might sound trite, but he has. God has created us for a purpose. And he has a special purpose for each person who is born. Sometimes Nancy and I look at our son Quentin, and we get little snippets on Facebook, and we see little videos, and we kind of look at him, we think, what is he going to turn out to be? What's he going to do? He always likes to have something in his hand. The other day, there was a tape measure, and he was trying to measure something, and I think, well, maybe he's going to be an engineer, maybe he's going to be a construction worker. Well, lo and behold, just the other day, where Amy and Anthony live, right next door is a guy who teaches music, is a piano teacher, and so little Quentin, 2.5 years old, had his first piano lesson. It was just amazing. I mean, the guy had music, but it was color-coded with numbers, and Quentin knows most of his numbers, and he knows his colors. And here's Quentin, first piano lesson, and he's able to play the piano. It's amazing. I don't know. Maybe he'll be a rock star. I don't know. But you look at this kid, you think, what's he? You know, God has designed us. God has a purpose for our lives, for each and every one of us. So we need to make sure that we're on board with God's purpose for our lives. Amen? All right. Drum roll. Here's a story I'm going to tell about myself that maybe you guys are going to think, oh my gosh, you know, if that's the kind of person Dave Gunderson is, why would I ever want to listen to anything he has to say? True story. I don't know how old I was when this happened. It was before I was in school. It was probably before I was 3 years old, because I don't really remember much that happened to me before I was 3 years old. I don't know exactly when this happened, but I was a little small kid. And my mom told me this story. I don't even remember the story, but she just told me the story to remind me of just how stubborn my human nature is that I inherited from Adam, my fallen nature, my old nature. And so she said that as a kid, I was so stubborn that there was one occasion when she just didn't know how to handle me. You see, one time I didn't get my way. I told her, I want this, I want this, I want it. No, can't have it. And so I told her, well, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to stop breathing. You can't make me breathe. You got to give me what I want. And she said, no. So I held my breath. And I held my breath. And I held my breath even longer and longer. And I held my breath even more. And then I passed out. I held my breath. Now, talk about an old Norwegian stubborn nature. I mean, this as a little kid, you know, I didn't want anyone to say no to me. And my mom freaked out. Now, I bring that up because let's not be stubborn when it comes to God's will for us, because he loves us, he designed us, he has a purpose for our lives. And then my mom found out later, she told the story to a doctor, and he said, well, if your kid ever does that again, just get a cup of cold water and splash it on him, and then he'll start breathing again. All right, some of you have a look of disbelief on your face here. Yeah, that was me. I always have fun when I come across stubborn people, because I think since I'm a minister that, you know, I can't match them with their stubborn. No, I can. My old nature. But I want to end with just one more thought. It's based on verse 16, where it says that God not only watched us develop in the mother's womb, but it also says all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a book of your life, of my life, and he's written in that book each and every day. And it means that our days are ordained of God, the length of life. In Job 14:5, it says, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Okay, we know that. But God has also planned for us the things he wants to accomplish in us or through us. He wants to work through our lives. And we see that in Ephesians 10, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're able to do good works because the good God is living in us, and in his goodness gives us the desire, and he gives us the energy, and he gives us strength and the opportunity to do his will. So God's prepared for us things for us to do and accomplish with our lives. And in Philippians 2:13, it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's God in us doing the good deeds. It's not us trying to say, oh, look at how good I am. You know, look at what I've done. Don't brag on your good deeds. It's all about God. Give God the glory. But God is awesome. He made us in an incredibly awesome way. Amen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, this is it. This is the main point. I'm going to finish with this. God wants to work through us in some awesome ways. We're awesome because he's awesome. He made us awesome. He's planned awesome things for us to do, and he wants to work awesome things through our lives. So may God grant us success and wisdom to accomplish those things in life that he's designed us for. We're here for a purpose. And we should never forget that.